Good morning. We'll wait a few minutes for everybody to come in and sit down. Got some visitors, that's why it's exciting. As we gather, if you could pull out your blue hymnal and turn to the back to number 661, 661 for our call to worship. 661. We gather as pilgrims on a journey of faith.
We come seeking the cloud of your presence as you travel the way. We come seeking your pillar of fire to light our hearts.
Shine in our hearts, O God, with the light of your love. Make your presence known through Jesus the Christ. Amen. Would you join me in prayer, please? How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. We long to be where you are, to stand in your very presence and to behold you face to face. And so we have come to this place today. We have gathered together to worship you, to offer the praise which belongs to you alone. Bless us as we worship you together and as we open our hearts and minds to your presence among us. For you alone are God, the one in whom we trust. Amen.
Please stand if you're able or want to. Continuing with our gathering theme.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Because we came, oh Lord, we'll be blessed because we came.
nice to have a full sound in summer. Doesn't often happen. So wonderful to see everybody here this morning. Welcome. Are there guests that need to be introduced? I know we have Tim and Stephanie Wenger here this morning. I think Rob will introduce them more formally later. But welcome here. We're glad to have you with us. And I saw Daryl and Zoom are here, and Emily and Madison. Welcome. Back to home. Are there any other guests that anyone would like to introduce? Or that would like to introduce themselves? Ike's daughter from Calgary. Welcome. Hi. Well, I hope you all have felt welcome here this morning and that we are already feeling gathered and together as we worship this morning. We want to take a few moments to look at some announcements. If you turn to the middle, I think number 7 and number 8 are important. We have Thanksgiving every month. This month we are collecting goods for Union Gospel Mission, and I think there are collection units in the foyer and also in the education wing if you have things you would like to bring to share with those who have less than we do. And number 8, there are Sunday school volunteers required for next season. There is sign-up sheets in the back. There's also a little letter for everyone to read in the bulletin. So please consider that for the fall. Our kids are important. We're a family, and let's build each other up, and as we build our children up together. Also, just to note number 5, that Pastor Gary and Carol are on vacation the next couple of weeks. Or I guess they have been on vacation and will continue to be on vacation. And there is a list of people there to contact if you need any care or any serious circumstances requiring pastoral presence. Are there any other announcements before we move into more of our sharing and prayer concerns? Okay. I will just draw your attention to the first 4 announcements there in the bulletin, and then we'll open it up for sharing. We have a mic, do we not? I guess we can use this one. Chris, would you mind being the mic person if we need it? So number 1, John Zacharias is having surgery this coming Thursday, so let's keep that family in our prayers. John Martins completed his final chemo treatment, but it has hit him really hard, and so he is back at Health Sciences this week. So please keep John and Erna and the family in your prayers as well. Mary Pankratz has made a move to the Oakview Personal Care Home, and we ask that we keep her in our prayers as she adjusts to the move. And Louise Lage continues in the hospital, so please don't cross her off your prayer list yet. And now, is there any other sharing that anyone would like to do? We'll open it up for a few minutes. Okay. Well, hopefully you have shared with someone else important to you. And if not, we will bring them together, bring our requests and concerns together to God now as we take time to pray. Loving God, this morning we bring our lives to you. The people that we love, the people that we care about that are hurting. As well, we bring some of our excitements and our hopes for the future. This morning, God, we pray for those that we know who are struggling with health issues. Specifically this morning, God, we lift to you John Zacharias, John Martins, Louise Lage. God, we ask that you be with Mary Pankratz as she settles into a new place and a new surrounding, a new environment, that you would be with her and give her comfort and peace. We also ask that you be with Gary and Carol. May this time away be refreshing and bring them back renewed. We pray for our Sunday school. And Lord, we ask that from our midst, you give us a tap, you give us a call, an urge, a push to minister to our children. We also pray that you be with Tim and Stephanie this morning. You be with Tim as he shares a little bit about himself. And that you be with all of us as we discern together the next step for our church. All of these things we bring before you, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son.
My life is in you.
Is in you, Lord, my strength. Is in you, Lord, my hope. Is in you, Lord, in you, it's in you. My life is in you, Lord, my strength. Is in you, Lord, my hope. Is in you, Lord, in you, it's in you. I will praise you with all of my life. Praise you with all of my strength, with all of my life, with all of my strength, all of my hope is in you. My life is in you, Lord, my strength is in you, Lord, my hope is in you.
Good morning. Welcome, Tim and Stephanie, to our church this morning. We're looking forward to hearing more from you. I am here representing my fellow search committee members, James and Ingrid White, Brian Dick, Ryan Reimer, and Kim Zacharias, and Pastor Gary. On behalf of our committee and church council, I'm very happy to welcome Tim here this morning and as our recommended candidate for the faith development pastor. Not the family something else that it said in the bulletin, but it's actually the faith development pastor position. If you have not already seen it, there is a brief introduction about Tim in the bulletin, and so please take a moment to look at that. The only thing I would like to add, since I don't want to take away from what Tim may be speaking about, is just wanted to clarify, because I know some people have asked, is that Tim and Stephanie do live in Winnipeg. They're not from out of town. So may God be with us this morning as Tim shares his story and vision for the faith development pastor position.
Hello. Before I begin, I need to acknowledge that I do have a speech impediment. I've worked really hard at minimalizing it through speech therapy over the years, but sometimes when I get really nervous, I start talking really, really fast and it becomes impossible to understand what I'm trying to say. So if you can't understand what I'm saying, please raise your hand and I'll take that as a signal that I need to slow down. It's hard to know where to start when asked to introduce yourself. Okay, so first I tell you that my name is Tim Wenger, that I'm originally from Kitchener, Ontario, that I'm a graduate student at Canadian Mennonite University, and that I got married last October to the lovely Stephanie, who's here with us today. But then what? What else do I share with you this morning? I could tell you about my growing up in the church, learning the Bible, believing in Jesus, attending a small rural congregation until I was 8, and then a charismatic congregation with loud worship music and speaking in tongues and through my youth, before I found my home in the Mennonite churches in Toronto and Winnipeg. Well, I could tell you about my education. High school at Rockview Mennonite Collegiate, which is a school very similar to Westgate. 1 year at Tyndale University College in Toronto. Before coming to CNU to complete a 4-year Bachelor of Arts in Biblical and Theological Studies with a minor in Philosophy and Counseling. And that I am currently in a Master's of Arts in Theological Studies program. Or I could tell you about my professional ministry experience. 10 months at Breakthrough Church International in Pietermaritzburg, South Africa, through Mennonite Missions Network. And 4 months at Steinman Mennonite Church in Baden, Ontario, for a practicum placement as part of my degree. And each of these would be valid ways of introducing myself. They tell you about where I come from, what I've learned, and a little bit about what I've done. But if that was all I needed to tell you, I could have just left it with this, the insert in the bulletin, and I wouldn't need to be standing before you today. Perhaps to truly introduce myself, I should share some formative experiences and the lessons that they've taught me. After I have done this, I would then share a little glimpse of what I hope to do if I were to be offered the faith development position. In my last year of high school, a group of us went to Guatemala for 2 weeks as part of an MCC learning and service tour. We got to see the development work MCC was doing, and we met Guatemalans who were negatively affected by the gold mining operations done by Canadian companies. Gold mining that is done with an arsenic-based extraction process, which then leaches into the water and causes very serious health effects. For the first time, I was ashamed of my nationality, and at one point I was told to remove the Canadian flag from my backpack for my own safety. Watching the advocacy work and the community empowerment work that Mennonite Central Committee is doing in Guatemala taught me that being a follower of Jesus means we have a responsibility to challenge the powers of this world for justice on behalf of the underprivileged. Also during this trip, I got sick. There isn't very safe drinking water, and so when you're in a situation like that, it's almost impossible to not get sick. I was climbing. We had a 4-hour hike into a mountain village, and every couple of meters, I had to stop and puke off the side of a mountain. After about an hour of this, a Mayan elder who was guiding us up to his village stopped the group and went into the rainforest, and he picked a plant. And he gave me the plant and told me to chew it while he rubbed my back. This experience, instantly, I had the strength to make it the rest of the journey to that mountain where I finally sleep for 2 days. This experience taught me about kindness, compassion, and mercy, and how they give us the strength to carry on. Between grades 11 and 12, I worked at my local camp. When I applied for a counseling position, I was instead given a maintenance position. Instead of giving piggybacks, I was scrubbing toilets. Instead of sharing about Jesus, I was clearing paths. Needless to say, I was pretty grumpy. One day I was wallowing in my self-pity, pulling vines off of trees along a path at the edge of camp, and I asked God why God would do this to me, even though I was obviously better suited to be a counselor. Then I grabbed a handful of vines, and I pulled, but they wouldn't come. I pulled, and I pulled, and finally they broke free, and I ended up on the ground. As I stood up and dusted myself up, I looked out over the neighboring farmer's field, and as the sun shone over the golden wheat, I felt that God was talking to me, and I realized that God had given me this position for a reason. I was there so that others didn't have to be. Because I was clearing paths, a counselor got to give kids piggybacks. Because I was scrubbing toilets, a kid got to learn about Jesus. I learned that I was scrubbing toilets for Jesus. I learned that not every ministry has to be up front, that God works in the background. By doing the grunt work, I was equipping others for ministry. Following this revelation, I had a major shift in attitude and became more engaged in what I was doing. I found purpose in helping others to do their best. I learned the importance of humility. When I look at these formational stories, I am reminded of Micah 6. In this passage, God is mad at Israel. They think that the regular religious practices, the sacrifices of yearly calves, should be enough to hold back the anger of the Lord. But that's not what God wants from them. Instead, in Micah 6:8, Micah tells them what God wants. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. God wants the same of us now that he did back then, to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. And these lessons about justice, kindness, and humility have been formational for me. Coupled with my studies, they have prepared me for ministry. I have some ideas about how I would minister if you were to call me to this faith development position. I want to encourage young people in the congregation to do church, to encourage the children, youth, and young adults to participate in all aspects of the life of the congregation, and to be the hands and feet of Jesus in their lives every day of the week. To seek justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly in all their relationships. I want to encourage young people to be able to ask difficult questions. If they can't ask those questions here, where can they? My hope is to help them develop critical thinking skills and provide them with resources so they will develop their own conclusions. I want to work at resourcing parents as they encourage their children's faith development. But the first thing I would do is listen. This congregation has been doing. Their volunteers are ministering to the young people in this congregation, and I want to learn from you what is working or not working. I want to learn from parents and young people about their experience in North Kedonan's ministries, what they think works, what they don't think works, as well as what resources they need. As I learn more about what the church is good at and what it needs, I can find my place in it, and we can work together in building the kingdom of God.
All right, time for the children's story. To completely shift things in a new direction. I'm just going to stick myself in the corner here. I've got big kids today. Lots of spots on the floor. Good morning. Good morning. All right. I have a couple of questions for you. Where would you like to go the most? Could be someplace you've been already. That's your favorite place to go. Could be someplace you haven't been that you're always wanting to go to. Europe. Any particular spot in Europe? You don't know? Go everywhere in Europe. Yes, Nadia. Hawaii. I think I know why you want to go there. Beaches. No? Swimming? All kinds of things. Anybody else? A favorite spot? Egypt. Nobody else? Yes, Jay. Africa. All right. Now, if you had the choice to spend 1,000 days here at home or 1 day in this special place that you've picked, what would you pick? Would you rather spend 1,000 days at home or 1 day in Hawaii? What do you think? Home? Egypt? It'd be hard to spend 1 day in Europe. So today, we're talking about Psalm 84. And the psalmist says that he would rather spend 1 day in the courts of God, in the temple, with God, than 1,000 days anywhere else, even Hawaii. So this is because the psalmist knew who God is. And as we discover who God really is, the goodness and the wonderful of his love and his grace draws us to him and makes us want to spend as much time as we can with him. The psalmist even said he would rather be a doorkeeper at the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Now, the doorkeeper wasn't even in the temple, but the psalmist has such a desire to be in God's presence that he would rather stand outside the temple and be that much closer than to dwell in the tents of, or in the houses of people who don't love God. One day in the temple courts than 1,000 days anywhere else. Now, is it easy to get to your favorite spot? No. Plane ride, long plane ride. Nowadays, it's easier than it used to be, I think. So our journey to be with God isn't always easy either. And the psalm talks about walking through the valley of Baca, which was like a dry desert valley. But when we are walking with God, all of a sudden, that's not so bad. There are springs of water that we find, and even the dry places become places of life as we try to be closer to our God. Let's take a moment to pray. God, we thank you for the gift of your presence, and that whether we are at home or at church or in some wonderful place with castles and beaches and pyramids, that you are there and that we can feel you. Please help us to look for you and to want more and more every day to be with you. Amen. We're going to sing another song as we take the offering, and you guys can go and sit back down.
This song is it's a direct interpretation of Psalm 84 by Matt Redman, called Better Is One Day.
There is one day.
And now let's open our Bibles and read Psalm 84. You may not have your Bible with you. It is written in the bulletin. My version is the NRSV, which is a little different than I think what's in there, but not too much off. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs. Indeed, it faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you.
Psalm 84 is a psalm of joy and delight. It's the expression of the excitement and anticipation of going to see God, an excitement that fills every little part of your being, a celebration of getting to be in the very presence of God. The excitement of going somewhere that we know we will encounter God, for most of us, is a very special and a very rare thing. It's rare enough that we get to fully encounter the presence of God, but to have a place that we know we will encounter Him is even more special. For the Israelites, that place was the temple. The temple was where the Spirit of God lived on earth, in the very center of the temple, in the Holy of Holies. Now, of course, God didn't actually just live in the Holy of Holies, never leaving and only seeing a priest every once a year on the Day of Atonement. The temple wasn't there so much for a place for God, and that a place that He needed, a place for Him to live, so much as it was a place for the people where they could come and be in the presence of God and be especially close to Him. As Christians, especially as Mennonites, we don't have such a unified, important physical space that we can make a pilgrimage to. But many of us still feel the need for such a place, and so many of us make our own. This is what is popularly referred to as a thin place. The idea of thin places has become especially popular in recent years, thanks to the Iona community in Scotland, which itself, for many, is one of these thin places. In fact, a couple of the young adults from our church are heading on such a pilgrimage there this summer as part of their studies at CMU. The idea of thin places originally comes from Celtic Christian spirituality. A thin place is a place where we can go and feel especially connected to God, a place where we feel like God is especially present, a place where it seems the boundary between heaven and earth is just a little bit thinner. For some of us, the church can be one of such thin places. For others, it's going out to the lake and being out in nature. And for others, it's something else. To help illustrate what a thin place can be, I'd like to take a bit of time to describe my most important thin place, the place that I like to make pilgrimage to. My thinnest place, the place where I feel like I can feel God the most, and the place that I like to go on pilgrimage to, is a little lake just off the Lake of the Woods. It's called Brocket Lake. Let me set the scene. There's a portage trail just off of Lake of the Woods. You come from an area that's fairly busy and fairly filled with boats and people. And this is a place that you can only really get to by canoe. You go on the trail, you walk for a good kilometer and a half, carrying a canoe on your head. And then you reach the end of the portage trail. And that portage was worth it. At the end of the trail, you arrive at a clearing, and you look out on the lake. It's a limestone lake with a perfectly clear emerald green water. You can see almost all the way down to the bottom of the lake. Surrounding the lake are cliffs of stone, multicolored granite. At the top of the cliffs, there's a forest of evergreen trees, densely packed balsam fir and spruce trees, with the occasional white pines towering above the rest, like green clouds, bursts of life streaking forward into the sky. The lake is sheltered, so the water is almost always as smooth as glass. You can see the pickerel and the bass and the pike swimming down in the depths. You put in your canoe and glide across the surface, peaceful and serene. On your left is a small, low-lying area, just barely higher than the waterline. You pull up and get out of your canoe and pull it ashore. You walk a little ways into the trees, and there is a beautiful, verdant green clearing with a stream running through the middle, with stones in the water that you can step across. At one end of the stream, there's a little waterfall that surrounds you with the sound of water crashing down on the rocks. In the distance, you hear the call of loons in the early evening air, just as the sun begins to set. It's there, at that moment, that the rest of the world just seems to melt away, and it's just a special place for me and God. When I go there, I feel that that must be similar to how the Israelites felt when they went to the temple. Now, I'd like to give you all a moment to think about such a place, what such thin places are for you. Take a moment to think about that. Now that you have a place in your mind, let's move on to the rest of the psalm with that place in mind. Because the psalm is not merely about the place itself, and the joy and the closeness to God that is felt when there. But it's also about the journey to that place. The journey itself is a process of fulfilling a longing to come closer to God. There are trials along the way, things that can stop you from getting there. For the Israelites, these were the logistics of being able to take the time to make the trip, because for many it would have been a very long trip, as well as the dangers that could stop them from making it there along the way. For many of us, there are other things that can stop us from finding these places where we feel close to God. It can be the busyness of life. It can be a lack of funds. It can be physical ailments that make it difficult to leave home. It can be a reluctance to try to be close to God when we feel that we've fallen short. What are some of the hardships that you encounter along the way? For me, I haven't been able to make it to that place, the place I want to make pilgrimage to, for several years, out on Brocket Lake. There's been many things that get in the way. It can be difficult just to get out of the city, to find both money and time. Then, when I get out of the city, I can't make it to that lake on my own. I have to rely on others. It's a fairly long and difficult trip by canoe. And even with the help of others, It takes at least 2 days of paddling to get there. More if there's high winds. And there's a few portages along the way, so I'd be hard-pressed to be able to carry all my gear by myself. And it would be dangerous to go alone, in case my canoe tipped or something happened. So I need to physically rely on others to make it there. It can be those hardships, though, that make these places so special. You really have to go out of your way to get there. You have to set aside time and resources to be able to make it to your destination. Take some dedication to get to those special places. And even though those places can be so special, so meaningful, you can't spend all your time there. The rest of life still needs to happen as well. But even when I can't make the trip out there, to the place where I feel God most closely, even the longing to make that trip, even just holding that in my mind, can bring happiness. As the psalmist says, "Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion." The desire to be close to God brings us happiness. And of course, these places that we long for on earth are merely a foretaste of what is to come. They're just a small piece of what it will be like when we are finally with God in heaven. And a pilgrimage is really just a physical expression of the journey of faith. While on earth, we can get close to God, but afterwards, we'll be able to be in his presence all the time. And that's what this psalm is really about. It's about the journey of our lives, about our journey towards God. How blessed our lives will be when we finally get to live in the fullness of his blessings, and how exciting it is that we get to be moving towards that. The journey toward God is where our strength and our happiness lies, having that in our heart, having the strength and the knowledge that we're moving toward God. Now, the journey toward God doesn't have to be a big, extravagant thing all the time. It can be a set of much more ordinary, everyday things. Doing morning devotionals? That's part of your pilgrimage toward God. Weekly Bible studies? That's part of it too. Playing worship music and praise and worship? That's part of your pilgrimage toward God. Worship leading at church? That's part of your pilgrimage toward God. Teaching Sunday school? Part of your pilgrimage. Being there for a friend in need, part of your pilgrimage. It's all part of a pilgrimage toward that greater goal. It's not just those extravagant pilgrimages that we think of as a pilgrimage that are important. The everyday little things really matter. The psalmist describes the pilgrims going from strength to strength. And that's what it's like having these little pilgrimages along the way. A place of strength that we can rest in the presence of God. If a day in the courts of God is better than thousands anywhere else on earth, just imagine how much better it will be again when we finally meet him in that perfect place he's created for us, where we will live together with him. Now the summer is a great time to go on a pilgrimage. A time when the world is warm and more easily traveled. A time when the warmth of the day makes it easier to see the warmth of God's love for us. I encourage us to all think of the little pilgrimages that we can make, both big and small, as we leave here today and go out into the rest of our lives. Whether it's a pilgrimage of the body, going out to some special location, or a pilgrimage of the everyday, such as starting or continuing to do daily devotionals. Take some time, set it aside for God, and travel toward him. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you. Amen.
would ask you to rise for the benediction and remain standing for a closing song. And then I believe we are all asked to stay, or the members are asked to stay in the sanctuary after the service so we can vote. This benediction is taken from the last two verses of Psalm 84. The Lord is our light and our protector. He gives us grace and glory. No good thing will the Lord withhold from those who do what is right. Blessed are those who trust in him. Amen.